pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we'll do a moment of silence. I'd ask the board to keep the Hirschman family in your prayers. Doug was a founding member of the board of directors here at DMA, and he passed earlier this month from brain cancer at the age of 59. Ken, are we on?
We are on.
All right, so we will call the November 28th DMA Board of Directors meeting to order. We do have a quorum, so we're in good shape to proceed and take any votes that'll be necessary. I do have the conference call line on. If Vicki joins us, if she does in a few minutes, I'll turn it off. So Al, we'll start with you, September minutes.
Yeah, you've received the minutes in the mail as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. Any corrections other than the one I'll note relative to the next board meeting? And I'm glad you don't read these. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'd have been a little bit less than a week earlier, because it said the next board meeting will be Monday, October the 22nd.
Which was neither the right date nor was the 22nd of Monday.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for the double correction.
I mean, if you're going to be wrong,
Madam
be wrong.
Chairperson. Sensitivity.
I did that job. I know how hard it is to get it right.
Corrections. Motion to approve.
This is minor, but can we just change my first name? It's just particular. It's not Christy. Can we fix that on that first line?
Sure.
Thanks.
How would you?
It's Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N. I know that sounds hooky, but that goes back to being a kid. It's not Christy.
No, it's all good. That's fine. Yeah, that's
great. Any other changes? All right, motion to approve.
I second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? All right, great. So before we do the review of the external audit results, two quick things in my chair's report. One is welcome to Jessica Wolf, who is the faculty representative for the year. So welcome. We're glad to have you. And then the other quick item, I thought I would have more detail by today to share, but I don't. We talked a few months ago, back in March, for those of you who were on the board then, about the leave policy for faculty and staff for medical and or maternity or paternity leave. And Ken had brought forth a policy which we did not have to vote on. It was more for awareness. And over the past couple of months, we've been looking at that policy and gotten some guidance from an external labor attorney around that policy and how it interdigitates with the federal law around FMLA. And so there are a few gaps that we're going to close so that we're sure we're administering that policy in accordance with federal guidelines, in accordance with the state guidelines, in accordance with the district guidelines. And that it's an equitable application across all staff here. So as soon as I have that final report from the labor attorney, we'll bring it to the board just again for awareness. Again, they're minor gaps, but we just want to make sure everything is lined up and we don't have any issues with that moving forward. As you know, FMLA is challenging to interpret and even more challenging to apply when the state superimposes some of their guidelines on it as well. So just for awareness, we'll make sure all that works out as we move forward. She is, the attorney we're using has finalized her report. I just don't have it in my hand yet. She changed firms last week, and so she's a little otherwise busy with her new employer, but I should have that in the next 2 weeks and in time for the November board meeting.
It, just for clarification, the policy was voted on.
The minutes actually, I don't think, reflect that.
Right, the minutes don't reflect what the recording, but it was actually voted on.
Okay.
Just, you know, for documentation's
great.
Sake.
Great, thanks. But we will go back and take another look at that. All right, and with that, Heath, you want me to turn it over to you for the external audit results and introduce our guest, and we'll move forward?
Yes, so Barbara Kane is our auditors, and they do the annual audit for our organization. I think they're in the third year of the contract, and I'll turn it over to Barbara Kane to present the results of the audit.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Good evening, everyone. For those of you who remember me from last year, and for those of you new, I'm Tim Sawyer. I'm the partner on your account at Barbacane.
Hello, this is Vicki.
Hey, Vicki, it's Sharon. You're on speaker. We're doing the audit.
Document, which is a brief overview as opposed to boring you and going through the entire.
Vicki, we're getting ready to have Barbacane do the audit.
Okay, great. Perfect.
Thank you. I think everybody should have one.
Okay, thank you.
If you want to flip to page 2, we'll give you a brief kind of recap on the summary. So we come out and we do our on-site testing and our field work here, and we were here through the week of August 9th. And then what happens is we are usually waiting on 3 pieces of information from the state once we finish our field work, and that's the pension actuarial valuation, the other post-employment benefit or OPEB valuation, and the state cash reconciliation reports. And until we get those 3, we really can't finalize the audit. I believe in August, the OPEB and the pension valuations were out, and then we were waiting on the cash reconciliation. We actually had a conference call with the state on October 7th about the cash reconciliation. And then shortly after that, the state did confirm that they had enough cash on hand to settle all the appropriations, which for your financial statements, really, when we look at the cash balance, does the state have cash in order for that to be your cash, or do you have to record part of that as a receivable from the state? So once they confirmed that they had enough cash, we were able to finalize the audit. Some of you may realize that, normally they say that the audits are due September 30th. They didn't do the reconciliation until October, so that delayed us a little bit. I've seen 2 emails where they had 2 various dates, October 16th and October 28th, for when they wanted the reports in as the extended deadline. We sent all of our schools that we do, we finished after the conference call, we finished them and got them all in on October 15th. So we did meet the new extended deadline as far as that goes. With the audit report, we are issuing unmodified or clean audit opinions on all the different opinion units, and they're listed there on page 2. On the bottom there, also with the results, as far as internal controls, we look at your cash receipts, cash disbursements, and payroll. And we're glad to say that your internal controls surrounding the reporting of all those transactions are operating effectively and as designed. We also, as part of the audit, do help assist putting the financial statements together. So that's disclosed there. On page 3, we talk about a new government accounting standard, which is coming down the pike. It's going to be effective for the June 30th, 2021 audit. It's just something to keep in mind as you go forward in case the school does enter into any leases. What's happening is right now leases are categorized 2 ways, operating lease or a capital lease. With a capital lease, you record the asset and the related debt in your financial statements. And an operating lease is just an expenditure, it's an expense item. This government standards, accounting standards board change is going to make basically all leases capital leases. So if you're thinking about entering into any lease going forward, this could impact your statements by having you have to pick up that asset and related debt on your financial statement. So it's something just to think about as you go forward in the next couple of years and keep that in mind. For the statements. On the next couple pages, we have some chart presentations. These compare your 2018 to 2019 results. So the first chart we have is from your statement of net position. So this is your full accrual statement presentation. And the full accrual, we mean that record all your capital assets and debt on your statement of net position. So your cash and pooled cash, which is up at the state, you went from 3.3 up to 4.3 million. Your investments were at 913. They dipped a little bit to 896. Your capital assets, net of depreciation, were at 17.7 million. They're now at 18.2 million. And your bonds and note payables were 18.7, they're now at $18.4 million. On the next page, we look at your fund balance. So as a governmental entity, we also do fund level statements. That's at modified instead of full accrual. So we strip out the fixed assets and debt. Any fixed asset purchases or expenses, as well as your debt, is also recorded as an expense. And the fund level, what we look at is your fund balance, and that's basically your accumulated reserves that you have on hand to settle any operating expenses going forward. You have some different buckets as far as your fund balance, committed, restricted, and unassigned. The unassigned piece is really is what's available for any purpose of the school. You're restricted, it's basically two buckets. It's restricted for debt service and capital projects. So that went from 1.2 million up to 2.1 million. And your unassigned went from 1.7 down to 1.6. But overall, your fund balance went from 3.3 million up to 4.1 million. So overall, you're in a good situation for your fund balance. Page six, we look at the net pension and OPEB liabilities. These are the liabilities that under GASB we had to put on your books. The pension started 5 years ago, OPEB started last year. These are the liabilities picking up your percentage of the state's plans. They're liabilities that you have to report on your statement of net position, but yet you really don't have any control over because you're kind of at the whim of the state and this, how they run the pension plan and you know, how the performance in that plan goes. But your net pension liability did go down, went from 2.1 million to 1.9. The OPEB liability went from 11.8 up to 12.3. And the difference between the two plans is has to do a lot with the funding. So the pension plan, obviously they fund because they need to have the funds in there for when people retire. The other post-employment or OPEB plan, that's a pay-as-you-go, meaning the state basically pays that as they have to pay out benefits. So when you're looking at the funding percentage, which will be in the next two charts, you'll see the difference there. The pension liability back in 2016 was almost 93% funded, then it went to 84, then 85, and it's now up at 87. As far as in the area, state plans go, Delaware's plan is fairly well funded. For instance, Pennsylvania is at 54%. But you're picking up your portion, which has gone from 0.14% up to 0.15%. So that $2 million is your 0.15%. And then at the bottom, it just shows you the change in the liability from year to year. The next page is the OPEB liability. So you can see here now, when we're talking about funding, this plan is only at 4% funding. That's why the liability is so much higher, and your proportionate share is about the same here, 0.149%. So you're picking up about the same percentage of that plan. It's just that it's a much less underfunded plan because it's a pay-as-you-go. The last two pages, are your financial performance framework. So we take a look at, based on your statements, the financial framework that DOE will run their calculations on. You can see the numbers here. The thing I'm just going to point out is if you look at all eight of them, according to our calculations, you're meeting standard for all eight. So you're in very good shape as far as that framework and that measurement will go with the state. I'm sure Ken will be getting notification from Brooke soon on their calculations, but I don't see any reason why you're not going to be in a meet standard from them. And then next two pages, 11 and 12, just summarize our required communications for you. So like I did say, you had unmodified or clean audit opinions. There were no new standards this year. We are not aware of any accounting policies that are controversial or lack guidance, meaning that you're following all the standards. There are no uncorrected misstatements in your financial statements as far as we could tell. And then the big one that everybody likes to see is the second one on page 12, where we talk about fraud and illegal acts. And we're happy to say that it's based on our audit procedures that we did not encounter any fraud or illegal acts. Anybody have any
questions for Tim?
On the audit results or the financial statements, if you had a chance to look at those.
How do we benchmark? You do other charter schools, correct?
Correct.
How do we benchmark against the other charter schools?
As far as like the financial
reporting
frameworks yeah. go, we meet all 8 standards. There's a couple other schools that we do that meet all 8. And then there's others that are, for various reasons, do not meet all 8.
State. And is there any work, I guess, with the new standard? Is there any implementation work that's going to need to be done for these guys here at all?
It depends on, you know, like I say, if you enter into any leases, looking at what it is you're leasing, kind of use your capitalization policy as a guideline to say if you're leasing copiers and you're wondering if that's going to meet the threshold, so whether it has to go on, you can use that as a guide. But then if you do lease something and you need that, yeah, there's some calculations you go through to figure out what the asset is that you need to book and what the liability is you need to book.
All right.
Great. Anybody else? Questions? Great. Thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it. Do you have any more questions on the leases or something?
Thank you.
So that's a great audit, and huge shout out to Ken for all the work Absolutely. That it takes to get there and the finance committee's oversight, because there have been years where 8 positives, we were holding our breath. So thanks for all the great work on this. It's really a good job. All right, moving on, Anthony, Commandant's report.
All right.
Good night.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
So a lot of what we've been working on is we have the Red Clay Charter renewal coming up. I believe that is at their next month's board meeting. And we stopped over there earlier this month. They were recognizing us for the Blue Ribbon. And in conversation, they had told us they think they want us to be there for that. And the word that we got was, you know, everything was running so smooth that it might not even be necessary for us to show up. So everything on there is running really well. I'll keep you posted if we do need to go. You know, as soon as I know,
great.
I'll let you know. But overall, that process seems to be running well. There is one thing that came up today from Sam Golder, and it's criterion 15 in the Red Clay Charter renewal. And criterion 15 is the school shall have a satisfactory plan to ensure the effectiveness of its board of trustees, including governance training conducted for any new board members, and at a minimum of once every 3 years. So I believe all of our existing board members, our board members that have been here, are all in compliance with criterion 15. But I did respond to him and say we have several new board members, which I don't believe are. He really just needs to footnote that they're new board members and that they'll be going to the training. But we'll make sure that we send you guys whatever training it is that you need to go to.
I've already went out. Is that the financial training?
I'm assuming, I don't know if it's anything in addition to the financial training, but yeah, I think you sent that link out for them.
Yeah.
So that's something that has to get done. We just had our open house this Saturday. It went really well. We made some slight changes to it this year. We started it in the dome. We added guided tours. We started out with, instead of just sending them out, we gave them a brief overview similar to like new cadet orientation in regards to our academic program, the history of DMA, our athletic program. So before they went out, they had about a 15-minute little just comments and remarks about the school and what they can expect at DMA. So I think all in all, we've probably had a total of 1,500 people come through. That's not 1,500 prospective students, that's 1,500 people total. So probably about 500 prospective students came through. You figure a mom and a dad with them, we averaged it out to be about 1,500. So really nice turnout, we had good weather. So it overall went really well. And the open enrollment starts on November 4th. Runs till I believe January 9th. So, you know, it's that season for open enrollment. We've attended a few information nights at various schools. Some were during the day during the school, but we are trying to do outreach into some at-risk areas so that DMA is being promoted out in the community, that we are reaching out to the at-risk areas. So we're doing that as well. Our grant submissions, we have applied for two grants through two different foundations, one being Crystal Trust, one being the Ellison Rosen McDonald Foundation. We submitted grants to do one-to-one computing. If we wanted to get started with one-to-one computing, it would cost us roughly around $200,000 to get it off the ground and going. So that is the amount that we submitted, and we should be hearing this month, November. Usually right before Thanksgiving, they let you know if you're approved or not. So we'll see. I'm not totally sure what'll happen, but they're both in, and we've received feedback that they've been accepted and will be reviewed. Stadium revenue and processes that we've been doing with this new stadium is working out really well. Just to give you an overview of what we put into place is DMA is collecting 25% of the revenue from the gates, for home games, and the other 75% is going to the DMA Sports Booster Club. So overall, we ran those reports the other day. I think we generated a total of between four games, correct me if I forget, I think it was about $15,000 just in gate sale, and just in gate. So it worked out really well, yeah. No, that was total. So I think we ended up with like 49 or... Maybe it was a little higher.
It was higher. It was like 6,500 that we brought. That's our portion.
So maybe it was 24 that they brought.
Yeah.
I have to go back and look at that number. Yeah, really good. So all of our games were well attended. The process of running these games and getting the crowds in and things of that nature, everything's going real well in that regard. So one of the biggest things, though, that we've had to do is utilize the parade field, and which is great, but if it's raining or we have bad weather, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what it's going to destroy that field. But we didn't run into that. We didn't run into that problem right now. But that's something that we're going to have to think about, because we definitely need that field when it comes time for home games, or just overflow parking is going to have to be at Richardson Park, and they're just, it's not going to be as convenient. But there's not a whole lot more we can do about that. The Blue Ribbon, Deb and I are going out to Washington November 14th. We're going to be recognized for the Blue Ribbon out there. We were allowed to send two people, so Deb and I will be attending that. I talked to you guys about the one-to-one computing initiative. You've heard about that in months past. The homecoming dance was a big success, no issues whatsoever, which was really nice, but I think we had about close to 600 teenagers packed in here. Not a single issue, but it was crowded. Kids had a good time. I'm also involved in the mentoring and mentee program simultaneously. So this is a program that's required for principal certification. So I'm involved with that. My mentor is TJ Vary, who is the assistant superintendent of the Appaquinimic School District. And I'm mentoring Amy Tosolowski, so we're both in this. It's crazy, but we're both doing it at the same time. So that's going on this year. College application week just passed with last week. Our kids filled out about 300 college applications. So that was a busy week for our kids. We have the Veterans Day breakfast coming up November 8th. Fundraising initiative that we did went really well. Our plan was to just, you know, put on a funny little skit to wrap the bleachers, and we were looking to raise some money for it, and we exceeded our goal. I think we ended up raising about $13,200, and so that went real well. And we're working on safety and security. The gates are finally getting the electric run to them, so those will be closed. We'll be closing the campus. Especially during Thursday morning for formations, when our cadets are all out there. At least that's an opportunity for us to just not be so exposed. Academic and programmatic update, we did the PSATs. We distributed the interims, and we have midterms this week. Those are both half days. Those are Wednesday and Thursday. Something that's not on here, we have state tournament games coming up. Our girls volleyball team plays Thursday night. In the first round, I think we play Concord. Football has a big game this Friday. They play Caravelle. If they beat Caravelle, then we should be in the tournament. If not, we're going to need some help from some other people. But it's a big game. They have a good chance at it, and we'll see what happens there. Soccer didn't make the tournament, and cross country is, and neither did field hockey. And cross country is, I think they're in the midst of the counties and county championships and things like that. Faculty staff update. We hired a new custodian, Christina Meredith. She's working out real well. She's primarily responsible for this building over here. So Ryan, he resigned his position. He lives like somewhere in Maryland. So it was pretty much a hike for him to come here. He found another job in maintenance there. So we wished him well, and he's on his way. And Dave Kaiser was named the OA Newton Maintenance Award of Excellence through the Delaware Association of Athletic Directors. Mr. Jean submitted his name for it, and so he received that award. So a little feather in the cap for Mr. Kaiser. And again, we've received a lot of compliments about how we're running the stadium, equal sharing, making sure that everybody's getting their fair share of time on the field, how the funding is working, how all that's operating, just the overall management in general.
And before Anthony moves on, just for the new custodian, we did follow the new process of simultaneous internal and external postings for that position. There were no internal candidates. No teacher wants to be a custodian. So, or maybe they do, but they didn't apply.
They didn't apply.
But we did post it internally just in case there was anyone internally interested, and then posted it simultaneously externally, and Anthony interviewed all the qualified candidates. So we went through that process this time of, you know, kind of following our process and of rigor in that application. And I think it worked well and came out with a good candidate.
Great candidate. She's a hard worker. And then just lastly, you know, just community activities and outreach. We've really been out in the community a lot this year. You can see just a few of the things that we've been involved in. And we are constantly getting emails and phone calls for our cadets to either do the colors at different events or just come out and support, volunteer. So it just seems more and more that people are reaching out to DMA because they want our presence at their events. So all in all, it's been a very successful opening to the school year. Been busy, but it's going really well.
All right, questions for Anthony?
I just have one. Who manages the stadium?
Well, it's a combination of Mr. Jean, myself, Jen, and Ken. It's really us four really are just kind of managing that thing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Keith, treasurer's report.
All right, so you'll have in your packet financials for the first quarter through September. And I guess real quickly, I know there's an item on your reconciliation of the June financials.
Yep.
I apologize in advance. I have the packet with all my notes on it, so I'm just going to go from a high level. Obviously, the June financial reports were part of the audit that was just completed by Barbara Kane, but the open item was a question from last time surrounding the revenues over expenses or expenses
right.
over revenues. I think there was when you look at that report, the cash flow report, in that June financial packet, there was about a $35,000 delta. I think we had revenues $7.1 million versus expense of $7,135,000. Ken and I sat down and talked about it a little bit. There's a lot of items that flow through June that were captured in those cash flow numbers that work itself back out, like the longevity payments that was in there. Then there was PTO and vacation time for retired individuals that gets reimbursed from the state subsequent to year end, and that was about, I think, $35,000 from memory. And then there was stuff from the boosters that gets reimbursed. I know we're running expenses through our statements that gets reimbursed. So again, I think we talked everything through, and again, I would ask for approval of the June financial reports. Again, the audit was done that covers that period, and then I can go through September financials for you.
So with that explanation, can we get a motion to approve June?
Question, Sharon?
Sure.
Just reviewing that real quick, the supplies and materials, I know that was on the...
You're referring to June, right?
Yes, June,
okay.
The unaudited sheet.
Yep.
What does, just as a classroom teacher, I know it says here that we're committed to ensuring students have these required materials and instruction. What does that include, that category of supplies and materials?
You're talking about on this?
On the June 30th, yes.
That's mostly anything related, anything instructional that's not a textbook. I mean, if you want full detail of that account, I can run a detailed report of the vendors and exactly what we purchase. But anything that is purchased through Deb, or anything that is purchased for the school that is non-textbook, basically.
Does that include technology or no?
It can. Okay. It depends on, you know, if John orders chargers or something for the iPads or something, you know, it could include anything, any accessories for the laptop cart. So it could go there, or it could go in a technology line. But basically anything besides textbooks.
Thank you.
All right. Motion to approve June for those who were on the board in June.
I make a motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
And can we count the abstentions for the non-June board members as 1, 2, 3, 4? All right, so passed. So do you want to do the current ones, Steve?
Yeah, so again, in your packet, you'll have September's financials, and that represents the first quarter of our budget year, 25% of our budget year. And from a revenue perspective, we brought in 58.5% of our total anticipated revenue for the year. That's $4,168,000. That compares to, at the same point last year, 59%. The major revenue in the month of September was the preload from the school districts. I think it's about 35% is about the amount of the preload. I think we're just waiting on one school district at this point, Christina School District. From an expenditure standpoint, we are at 31.4% of our budget year, compared to 32.3% in the prior year. So I think the big thing is, when you look at the expenses, the category that skews it is the debt service, which would be on the second page. If you look at it, we paid down $769,000 in the first quarter. Our budget for the year is $1,079,000. So the point is, if you prorate that evenly throughout the year, we're actually at 23.3% of our budget year. So. Yes. And I think all the other, again, the Finance Committee reviewed this on our finance call a couple weeks ago. The variances, there's tick marks next to the expenses that where they're highlighted and noted with comments. The only one that we talked about that's not noted there was the transportation. That's on the first page. And that was at 9.4%, so it seemed kind of low. But in discussing it, it was just timing. So that will catch back up. Outside of that, the financials through the first quarter look good.
Questions for Heath or for Ken? All right, motion to approve the September financials. This is the participation part of the program.
Make a motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
And abstained. Great.
And I think the only other thing in...
Okay. Before you wanted to make one comment, just on the capital repair and improvements line, it's not reflected in this first quarter because the transfer was not processed until October. But if you recall, several years ago, the board voted to set aside $50,000 a year for the buildings. Once we constructed the dome, we increased that to $75,000 a year. With this current year transfer, we're now at $350,000 in that account. So the board should consider, you know, where they may want to cap that amount. I know before when we talked, we didn't really put a cap on it. We just said we're going to move this money there just in case. But, you know, in two years, we'll be at $500,000 in this repair account. So, there's something to consider.
Yeah, it's a great point, Ken. So what I would ask, Heath, is if the Finance Committee can make a recommendation to the full board as to that cap.
Yep.
So if you can talk about that at your next meeting and bring it forward. I think that's a great idea. We don't want to just let that roll endlessly,
yep.
But
right.
Whatever you all think is a reasonable cap as a recommendation would be great.
Can I make a comment on that? Based on the stadium now being here, should that be changed possibly in up that annual rather than 75, some other number? Because we're going to have some reoccurring costs at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to consider, but at the same time, I think where we invested the money in the stadium, I don't think we would be looking at needing to replace anything.
Soon. Not in the
right. Not in the next 2-3 years. I don't think we would.
Gotcha.
You know, I could be wrong.
I mean, not in the immediate future.
But
I always like to have that nested. Like I like knowing that money's there just in case of the emergency. But yeah, I mean, at some point, like where do you say?
Right. Well, and as a charter school, you can't nest egg things forever.
Right,
so
exactly,
at some point, you've got to say we're done and we're good. So.
Right, I think Karen's comments. The finance committee.
I'm
that.
Today.
I'm sorry. Sharon's comment.
Sharon's
comment in terms of vetting into the
finance
committee. We can do that.
Yeah, never know.
Great, thanks.
Sounds good.
The only other thing would be there's also a handout in there, stadium update. So this is the final stadium analysis. From a big picture standpoint, we will have received funding of $2,350,000 when everything's said and done. From two major donors, and the only thing that's outstanding is $175 from the McDonald Foundation right now. In terms of the organization's investment into the project, we only had to take out of our capital reserves $215,000. So, and this is the final accounting of the project. We have one,
correct,
I guess, one amount outstanding of $2,300.
I don't think we'll have to pay that. And also, we should receive back $15,000 from the county. So when it's all said and done, we should actually be at $200,000 from our reserves.
Maybe 200. Okay.
Yes.
So
pretty impressive.
Yeah. Worked out very well.
Yes.
Pretty nice to build a stadium for $200,000 a year out of cash, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Bob's company, because I think that stadium is outstanding.
Yeah. Emory Hill did a phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. We got off to a rocky start, but redirected quickly, and great end product for sure. All right. So academic excellence remains vacant. Yes. Do we have anybody who wants to chair that committee?
I will chair it for you.
Thank you so much. I did that job too.
It's really amazing.
Yeah. So great. Thanks. If we can make that in the
minutes. We'll go from there.
Great. Perfect. Ed, governance.
Yeah, nothing.
So. We will have to make a decision at some point. Maybe we can put this on the November or December agenda, right? To start thinking about how many seats to recruit for next
year.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think we have three going on. Three.
You, me, and Vicky will rotate off.
Right.
Right. So we'll have to think
we'll
about
bring
what
it
we
down
want
to
bring
to,
then.
I think 12. 11 or 12. And I have to review the bylaws. I just haven't gotten to them yet.
Okay. So, great. All right, any old business otherwise not covered? New business. Public comment. We are going to have a brief executive session, so before we do that, let's do the motion to adjourn. It's a notification my Amazon has arrived. yet again. we will do an executive session. It'll only take 10 minutes, I promise. Just want to talk about a potential opportunity that's embryonic at this moment. But hearing no other business, motion to adjourn.
Motion.
All right. Great. I will ask faculty, staff, and public to step out as we go.